Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Beis, and we are three lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis Tanan Hasa. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Matzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refua Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel, as a schos for Yosef Ben Pesel for Atzlocha Becholo and Yonim, and continued Gezund Parnasa and Naches. And today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Yehuda Tzvi Ben Reb David. So today's daf is very much a continuation of yesterday's daf, which began with a Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Amid Beis that discussed Hamoicher Makom Lechaveroi Lasois Loi Kever. So if somebody sells a piece of land to his friend, and it was clearly stipulated that the use of proceeds of this land was going to be lasois loy kever. Alternatively, the Mishnah said, if somebody's a contractor and he's mekabel mechaveroi lasois loy kever, signs a contract that I will build for you a kever. Says the Mishnah, there was a machloikis, the chachomim, and Reb Shimon, what the exact dimensions of that kever would have to be. And the background to the Mishnah is that in the times of Chazal, it was very common that people were buried not in the traditional cemetery, but rather in ma'orois, in caves, what's known as catacombs or crypts. But the point is, there was a certain setup to this Beis HaKfaris, to this catacomb or crypt, and it's for that reason, Hamoicher Makom Lechaveroi Lasois Loi Kever, or Mekabel Mechaveroi Lasois Loi Kever, has to be aware of what exactly that catacomb or crypt, what that Beis HaKfaris is supposed to look like, so that you know what exactly was sold, so that you know as the contractor what it is that you took upon it yourself. So, what were the two shittas? What's this machloikis, the Chachomin and Reb Shimon? So, everyone agrees that the way this Beis HaKfaris was set up was there was a chatzar that would lead underground into a ma'ara. The first question was, did it lead into one ma'ara on one side and another ma'ara on the other side, meaning two ma'aras in total, or did it lead into four ma'aras, one to the right, one to the left, one in front of you, and one behind you? The Chachamim said that your standard Beis HaKfaris had a chatzar which led into a ma'ara to one side and to the other side. It was only two ma'aras that this chatzur would lead into. Reb Shimon said, no, there was a ma'ara on all four sides. In other words, your standard Beis HaKfaris is a chatzur with a ma'ara on each one of the four sides. Additionally, the Chacham and Reb Shimon argued with regards to the size of the actual ma'ara. The Chachamim said that the ma'ara itself had to be dalit amos al shesh, meaning there were three sides that were going to be walls. One side was going to be open, where you were going to walk into it. The two longer sides were going to be six amos. And the one side that's facing you, that's going to be the narrower side, the width, so to speak, of the ma'ara, that's only going to be four amos. According to Reb Shimon, the size of the ma'ara was not 6x4, but rather it was 8x6, so that the two longer sides were going to be 8 amos each, and the one shorter side, the wall facing you, was going to be 6 amos. Echabta nafgemina, in terms of how many kuchen, what we know is how many coffins, how many mesim, how many neftarim, you're going to be able to put in these ma'aras. And it's really based on certain hanachis that were governed by halacha. So each koch had to have at least one amma of width for you to be able to make sure that the mace, regardless of the size of the mace, is going to be able to be there in a comfortable way. Pashat al tzkavet ha-mace, you had to make sure that the koch was going to be at least one amma wide. Additionally, there had to be an amma of space in between the kochin, for the same reason, kavet ha-mace, at the edges of the wall, there you had to have a half amma. It's for that reason, according to Reb Shimon, where the ma'ara is 8x6, you're going to memela be able to fit more kuchen than according to the Chachamim, where the ma'ara is only 6x4. What is the cheshbon? And it's going to be very negeya as a segue into today's daf. So the Mishnah said that according to the Chachamim, in each individual ma'ara, you were able to put shmoyne kuchen. And the cheshbon is shalosh mikan, the shalosh mikan, the shnayim mikenegdam. just go through one. V'tein l'chacham v'yech gamoid. The two side walls, according to the Chachamim, were 6 amas. If the side wall is 6 amas, you need 3 amas for the 3 kuchen that you're going to be able to put there. Okay. There's 2 amas for the 2 spaces that you have in between the 3 kuchen. There's a space between kuch 1 and 2 and another space between kuch 2 and 3. You have 5 amas. And then the 2 edges, we said, are a half amma. So you can end up having 6 amas. The wall facing you, which is only 4 amas, you can have room for 2 kuchen. What's the cheshbon? The cheshbon is each one of the 2 kuchen take up an amma. You have 2 kuchen, that means there's 1 gap in between. That's also an amma. That's 3 amas. And then the 2 sides are going to be a half amma. According to Reb Shimon, however, that the ma'ariv was not 6 at the length and 4 by the width, but rather it's 8 by the length and 6 by the width. So using the same formula, according to Reb Shimon, you're going to be able to put arba mikan varba mikan. You'll be able to put 4 on each side, 3 on the wall facing you, which is 11. The Mishnah said, it just so happens that Reb Shimon held that there was another halacha, echad miyamina pesach, echad mismayla pesach, which was the primary topic of the latter part of yesterday's daf. The Gemara, the Maskana said that it means is that the wall facing you on the 2 diagonals, the Maimik, they used to put another 2 kvarim, but the bottom line is, according to the Chacham, and this is what we need right now, the size of the Ma'ara was 6 amis to the length, 4 amis to the width, which yielded 8 kuchen. According to Reb Shimon, it's 8 amas along the length, it's 6 amas along the width, which yielded 11 kuchen. It just so happens, Reb Shimon has a shita that they also put 2 on the diagonals, which grada gives you another 2 kuchen. So according to Reb Shimon, you get 13. Now, as it relates to the entire Beis HaKvaris, there's a much bigger nafkamina, because according to the Chachamim, it's 8. But 8 times 2, according to Reb Shimon, it's 13. It's 13 times 4. So the number is a much bigger number, according to Reb Shimon, than it is according to the Chachamim. And really, it's rooted on these 3 machloikas in that the Chachamim and Reb Shimon had in the Mishnah that we spoke about yesterday. Number 1, the size of the Ma'ara. Number 2, how many Ma'aras were there in your standard Beis HaKvaris? Additionally, did they put those extra kuchen along the diagonal on the outer wall? Regardless, with all of this information that we have, we introduce now part 2 of this sugya, the second daf. Now, just as a background, the daf is going to begin with a Mishnah that's a Tanan Hossam. This Tanan Hossam is Perik Tezayin, Mishnah Gimel Masechtas Aholitz. It's also discussed in somewhat detail in the end of Masechtas Nazar, something that we learned together not terribly long ago. The purpose of bringing this Mishnah is going to be to prove that there's another shita in this sugya. So we have the 2 shitas that I mentioned in the Mishnah. With regards to the individual ma'ara, is it 6x4 or 4x6? Or is it 8x6, 6x8? What we're going to see is another shita. And that is, it's not 6x4, it's not 8x6, but rather it's 8x4. So you're going to have a shita which is going to sound like it has the length of Reb Shimon's Ma'ara, but it has the width of the Chachamim's Ma'ara. Where is this shita? So it's tucked away in a sugya that really is Negeya, this Mishnah in Perek Tezayin and Masechtas Aholis, and that's why this part of the sugya begins with a Tanan Hasam, but it's really going to lead up. The punchline of what we're going to do right now is not to discuss Hilchis Aholis, but rather it's going to be to bring out the Makar to this Dritta Shita. And as we'll see along the way, we're going to have a little bit more math. So you need your calculator for today's daf, Nishkeferlach, but again, a little bit more Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'is Inyan to what it was that we talked about yesterday. Now, the background to the specific halacha that we're about to discuss is, if there's a mace that's buried and you want to reinter that mace, meaning you want to take the mace and you want to move it somewhere else, are you allowed to do it or are you not allowed to do it? So it's not so posh. Meaning, there's an idea that a mace is kind of mekaymai, right? We know mace mitzvah is kind of mekaymai. Every mace, really, to a certain degree, is kind of mekaymai. And as a result, to just go ahead and move a mace is not so pashit. The most basic kula when it comes to moving a mace is if the mace was buried l'chatchila alatnai, where it wasn't put there in a permanent way. It was put there in a temporary way, where when the time comes, if you'll be able to move it, you're wanting to move it. So that's a major kula. In that instance, the halacha is you'd be allowed to move. Even when you're allowed to move a mace, the halacha is noitloy ve'es tfusasa. You can't just take the mace, you have to take part of the dirt. And it's really based on a pasuk. It's a drasha. We learn it from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was reinterred, so to speak, from Mitzrayim, and he was brought to Eretz Yisrael. And he said, unesasani mi Mitzrayim. And Chazal learned from there that the commandment wasn't just to take Yaakov, but it was to take mi Mitzrayim. Part of Mitzrayim had to go along. So this is like a real din that you can't just move the mace, you have to move Tfusasa again. But again, the only time you can even move it is if this mace that you see, we assume, was put there in Bederech HaRoy. If it was done in a temporary way, so we could assume that you're going to be allowed to move it. If, however, it's there, Ba'ofen Kavua, so then you can't even take it with Tfusasai, there's halachis that say it's koinem a koinmai, you have to leave it there. So that is the background to this Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah, Tanan Hasam, Hamoitze Mace Mushkov Kedarkoi. If somebody finds a mace and it was Mushkov Kedarkoi, meaning it was buried in the ground, and it was buried Kedarkoi, the way a Yiddish mace is buried. So the Chevr Kadisha know the halachis of how exactly you're supposed to bury a mace. But there's very specific halachis, Ayin Brashmam, who speaks out some of them. So if somebody finds a mace and it was mushkav kedarki, meaning it looks like there was a levaya and it was buried in a proper way, the halachis is noitloy ve'est fusasa. You're still allowed to reinter it. So if you decide that you want to move it, you could. However, but tonight you have to take fusasa. You have to take a little bit of the ground. Meaning, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, it's mushkav kedarki. So you would have thought it was put there ba'ofen kavua. So maybe I shouldn't be allowed to move it. But being that you found only one mace, you were a Moitzei mace, right? You didn't walk into a Beis HaChayim, you found the mace. So if the mace was found on the side of the road, in the middle of a field, so it looks a little bit like nobody really wants to be buried there long term, it was probably via Bederech HaRoy. So despite the fact that it's Mushkav Kedarki, the halachas, if you want to move it, you're allowed to move it. Shnayim. What if you find two mason in the same vicinity, still Noitlon Vest Fusasan? We assume that they were both buried there in a temporary way. Matzah Shloisha. What happens if you find three? If the distance between the three mason, so just to try to visualize this, there are three mason that are buried side by side by side, right? They're all horizontal, not kfuras chamoyrim like we saw in yesterday's daf, and there's a little bit of space in between the three of them. But if you add up the distance from where the first mace is to where the last one is, it's going to be, the number you're going to get is going to be at the minimum 4 amas and at the maximum 8 amas. So that space that these three kfarim are taking up are anywhere between 4 and 8 amas. Then the halacha is hareze shchunas kfaros. We assume that you just bumped in, not to three random kfarim, but you just bumped into a shchunas kfaros, right? A shchuna, a neighborhood of kfaros, meaning you just bumped into a beis kfaros. And if that's the case, now you can't move. Because now it looks like they were buried there permanently. And if they're buried there permanently, you can't move it. Not just that. Now you have to be concerned that maybe this whole general area is one big Beis HaKfaris. So you have to start doing bedikas. You have to be boidik from this Shchunas Kfaris that you found, and you have to start walking Esr Mam. Let's say you started checking that 20 Am area, and all of a sudden you found another singular maze. You have to go another 20 amas. And the Mishnah is very expressive. There's a raglayim ledover that maze has a shaykhis to the previous mason. And if that's the case, maybe there's even more mason. Had you found that one mace within 20 amas from the three mason, what would the halacha have been? But now that you found it within 20 amas, so now already there's a raglayim ledover, and maybe this whole field, that's the point, this whole field is one big Beis HaKfaris, it's one Shchunas Kfaris, that's the whole zip code, and as a result, the halach is that you're going to have to continue searching beyond even that one individual mace, another 20 amas, to see maybe you're going to find another mace. Now, the Gemara is going to do what it does, which is unwrap this Mishnah. It begins with Amamar, and we're going to get very much into it and tie it into the Machlokes of Shem Chachamim and make a wrap on this sugya. But before we do that, just to appreciate this Mishnah a little bit better. So when you learn the Masechet this Nazir, and the Gemara mentions this Mishnah, so there it's more mitzad, the meis mitzvah koinem, a koinmai component. Now we're learning it mitzad the Beis HaKfaris component, and we're holding in the sugya Beis HaKfaris. So I think it's kedai to just meditate a little bit on what we just said. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if you find three kvarim, harezu shchunas kvaris. Okay, makes sense. You find one, it's random. Two, random. Three, right. We know there's machlekes Rebbe and Rishon and Gamliel, where the chazak is established when something happens twice, three times, right? Three is always a shar shtoises three times, it becomes a shar amuet. Right, that's the very balbatish way of understanding this. You find three kvarim, now it looks like it's not a coincidence. It's not a mikra anymore. There's something going on over here, right? But the Mishnah said that it's only true im yesh beinei mei arba vachmoina. It has to be that the distance that you have with where this shchunas kvaris is within 4 and 8 amas. Meaning if it's less than 4 amas, or if it's more than 8 amas, then already we're not going to say harezu shchunas kvaris. What's the cheshbon? Before we get into the math, the cheshbon is if they're too close together, then it looks like almost a mass grave, right? If they're too spread apart, then it looks like three individual random kvaris. If they conform within certain dimensions, that's when we see up here the shchunas kvaris. Okay, now we have some information about what the shchunas kvaris used to look like. These crypts, these catacombs. There was a chatz and you went downstairs, there was a mara here, a mara there, going to Rav Shimon, maybe a mahara everywhere. But the point is, that was the setup of how it used to be. So really, we have to take these numbers and try to work backwards in terms of the little bit of yidiyah that we have now from learning one block gemara about this sugya in terms of what the Beis HaKfaris used to look like. So the Mishnah seems to be saying that if these three kfarim are within a 4 amma dimension, then it's going to be fine, right? Less than 4 amas is not good. But may arba amas already, right? That's the low threshold. So if it's 4 amas, let's see, that's what measures from one maze to the other maze. Then everything is going to be perfect. Now, let me ask you a question. We had Shitas HaChachomim, we had Shitas Reb Shimon. They described what the Ma'aris used to look like, right? You had the wall that's 8 by 6, that's Reb Shimon's world, 6 by 4, right? And by the way, there's a musik of a wall that's 4 amas, right? The outer wall, according to the Chachamim, is 4 amas. Just think about this even a little bit more. A wall that would be 4 amas is true, the outer wall, according to the Chachamim. But really, you have it in Reb Shimon also, because if you would find a wall with kfarim, that's 4 amas. Maybe it's a half a wall. In Reb Shimon's world, maybe it's half of the longer wall, or it's 2/3 of the shorter wall. Even according to the Chachamim, maybe it's 2/3 of the longer wall, right? So the minute you find 4 amas, yeah, it fits very neatly in the Chachamim's outer wall, but it's pashut that you should have mason buried within a 4 amma period. That makes perfect sense. Stims very much with what we saw, but it doesn't. Why doesn't it? Because we saw in the Mishnah that the Mishnah said that there was a distance and there was a cheshbon of how they had to bury the mason within that area. And the cheshbon was, on the two sides, they're going to have half an amma. Each mace takes up an amma, and you have to have an amma of space in between the two of them. And really, the cheshbon, the math was that for every 4 ammas, how many mason were you able to fit? 2 mason, right? The chachamim opened that outer wall, which is 4 ammas, you get 2 mason. The side walls, which are 6 ammas, you get 3 mason. According to Reb Shimon, the outer wall, which is 6 ammas, you get 3 mason. The 2 side walls, which are 8 ammas, you get 4 mason. Everybody agreed to that ratio. The ratio is, it's going to end up being 1 to 2, right? For every 2 ammas you have, you're going to end up getting 1. Now, this Mishnah says Mefurish not that way. The Mishnah seems to say that if you have 3 mason that fit within 4 ammas, right? Midalut vachmoina. But if you have 3 mason that fit 4 amas, so, oh, perfect. I raise a shchunas kvaris. When I raise a shchunas kvaris, which Hevra Kadisha would bury mason like this? It violates Mishnayis. It violates the Messiah and Klaiso. Can't bury a mace that way. There's a cheshbon, there's a sayed of how they had to be married. Meaning, l'chayr, it's poshet that this must be some mass grave, and if that's the case, it shouldn't be a shchunas kvar. But from the Mishnah, you see not that way. You see from the Mishnah that if you have 3 mason within 4 amis, that works. Now, the Rashbam says, what did the Tana of the Mishnah probably hold? So he obviously had a different cheshbon. So he must have held like this. He must have held that the mace itself, for sure, takes up an amma. No one's going to debate that. But where he probably differs is how much space you have to have on the sides and how much space do you have to have in between. So he says that whereas the Tana of Unzer Mishnah, Sai the Chacham, Sai Reb Shimon held that it's a half an amma on the side, he probably held 1 tefach, which is 1/6 of an amma, because it's 6 tefachim to the amma. And whereas our Mishnah holds that you have to have a full amma in between, he probably held two tefachim in between, which is a third of amma. It's for that reason, if you have an area that's four ammas, you can make it work. Why? Because in four ammas, you have three kuchen. The three kuchen are three ammas. Now you have one more amma to play with, which is perfect. One more amma is six tefachim. So you have one tefach on the two sides, and the two gaps in between the three kuchen are each going to be two tefachim. So it's one tefach on the side, plus two tefachim in between one and two, another two tefachim between two and three, and then another tefach on the other side, you're going to end up six. So that's how the math is going to work. But it zichr doesn't stem with our Mishnah. So before even starting the Gemara, you see already that this does not stem with our Mishnah. And by the way, the reason we're speaking it out before we're starting the Gemara because the Rashbam speaks it out before we start the Gemara. So it sounds like the Rashbam felt that it was kedai to just think this through a little bit in the cup before we actually start. But either way, so you see right away this is not going to stem 100% with what we have up until now. But the Gemara is going to ask it, you know, in the way the Gemara asks questions like this. Amar mar. The Mishnah said a few things, right? But specifically, what do we need? Me arba v'atshmoino, that in the event that these three kfarim are within four and eight amas from each other, so then the halacha is harezu shchunas kfar. So the Gemara says, Mari, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? Irabonon, is it the Rabbonon? Ha'amri dalet amas al sheish. The Rabbonon said that what was the shear of the Ma'ara? It was 4 by 6. And over here you see that it's what? It's 4 by 8. Now, Pasha, you learn what's the Gemara's kasha, right? If you weren't going into this too much, so you would say, oh, the kasha is from the 8, right? Because you see that the Mishnah says if the 3 was spread out over 8, harezu shchunas kfar. So according to the Chachamim, there's no wall that's 8 amos long, right? It's 4 amos or 6 amos. There's no wall that's 8 amos long. Oh, so from the 8, it's mufrach the Chacham. But the truth is, even from the 4, it's mufrach because the 4 in the Chachamim should only fit 2 kuchen, and in this Mishnah, it's fitting 3 kuchen. But the Gemara says can't be the Rabbanon because the Rabbanon said Dalet Amos al Sheish. And he Rab Shimon, if it's Rab Shimon, or Amar Sheish al Shmoino. And it can't be Rab Shimon either because Rab Shimon said that the number is 6 by 8. And here it's Mashma that it could even be 4 by 8. Now, again, even though the way the Gemara is asking the Kasha, it sounds like the Kasha is 4 by 8. What do you mean? It's 6 by 8, right? But really, is that kasha a kasha? If that was the only kasha, would that be a kasha? I'm not sure that would be a kasha, because maybe the 4 is part of a 6, or the 4 is part of 8. The oimik of the Gemara's kasha really is, like we said, it's based on how many mesim, it's based on the ratio. So it's not just the numbers are different, right? The very balabatish way to learn the Gemara's kasha, and by the way, from the words of the Gemara, it sounds like that's the Gemara's kasha, which is a har, because that kasha is really not such a kasha. Yeah, it feels like the kasha. If you want to go weiter, say that's the kasha and don't look behind you. But lamais, if you want to be intellectually honest, you have to know what that kasha is. Right, it sounds like in the Mishnah, it's either 4 by 6 or 6 by 8. Mishnah v'shneid 4 by 8. What's that grace of kasha? The 8 according to Chachamim is a kasha. But the 6 according to Rav Shimon, what's the kasha? Maybe the 4 is part of the 6. The teretz is the kasha is because even Rav Shimon's 6, or even Rav Shimon's 4 would only get you 2, and in this Mishnah, it's getting you 3, which is a problem, and it's an oimik in the problem. I'll leave it to Chachamim as well. But that's the bottom line. The Gemara says, had is the shtim, and for the Gemara, lo'ilam Rav Shimon, lo'ilam, I'll tell you it's Rav Shimon. I mean, it has to be Rav Shimon. The reason it has to be Rav Shimon is because you see for sure 8. So if you see 8, it has to be Rav Shimon. So for sure we're going Rav Shimon over. According to the Chachamim, 3 kfarim spread out over 8 is not a shchunas kfaris, because the longest wall is only 6 amas. And here you see already that we're reckoning with 8 amas as being one wall of a crypt, and there's no such thing in the world of the Chachamim. So who is the Tana of this Mishnah Masechtas Aholos? It's Rav Shimon. However, v'hai Tanahu, it's a Tana alibi de Rav Shimon. Tanya went to the Brisa, Matzan Ritzufin, in the event that you found a bunch of mesim that were next to each other, v'ein b'neyam midalet amos ad ches, and you don't have between them 4 to 8 amos, meaning they're either bunched together in an area that's less than 4 amos, or they're bunched together in an area that's more than 8 amos. So the halach is yesh lahem tfusa, ve'in lahem shchunas kvaris, meaning, so then the halach is that if you want to move them, you can move them. Yesh lahem tfusa, meaning noitloi ve'es tfusa, so you have to take the dirt with it. But the point is, they don't have a din shchunas kvaris, because even though you found 3 kvar, maybe even more, but it doesn't matter. Only true if it's within 4 and 8 amas. But if it's less than 4, it's more than 8, then you're not going to have this halacha. Rav Shimon, Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Yehuda said, Mishum Rav Shimon, in the name of Rav Shimon, Royin Esom Tzoyim Ki'ilu Einan. Now, if you find a situation like this, it's not necessarily dead on arrival. And the reason is, because you have a right to look at the Emtzoyim, that was a bad pun, you have a right to look at the Emtzoyim that are in this area, as if they're not there, Vashar Mitztarfim Midawet Amis Vatches, and take the two outer ones, one middle one, which will give you three, and as long as that complies within the four and the eight amas, everything is going to be okay. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, you have to look at the whole geshef. So if they're all bunched together, if you have seven within an area of, I don't know, five amas, so it doesn't work, right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, it could be a woodwork. And the reason it could be a woodwork is because at the end of the day, you can look at the two outer ones and the one middle one. Now we'll have three within five amas. Oh, three within five amas is going to be okay. And really, the machlokes is, in this braisa, do we say royin or do we not say royin, in the words of the Rishayim? Do we say royin? We have a right to somehow disregard some of the kfarim that are there. I'm only going to look at what I want to look at. So I'm going to look at the two outer ones, the one middle one. Oh, gevaldik, I have myself three, and it conforms with this ratio between four and eight amas. Chachamim hold, or this the Tanakam of this Braisa holds, that no, you can't say Ryan. Now, what's the machlokes, whether you say Ryan? Don't say it's going to be the last piece of Gemara. The Gemara is going to come back to it, and the Gemara is going to explain it. But the bottom line is, what do you see from this Braisa? What you see from this Braisa is that there is an idea where the number is what? It's not 6 by 8, but the number is actually 4 by 8. That's exactly what you see. So you see the 4 by 8, right, for sure. Not 4 by 6, not 6 by 8. You see the 4 by 8. You see this number of 4 by 8. Additionally, you see they would bury three kfarim sometimes within an area of 4 amas, which means the cheshbon is not an ama in between, but two tvachim in between, and not a half ama on the side, but one tefach on the side. So zok the gemara, enochinami, the Tanan Hossam and Mesechta Sahalas doesn't seem to stem with any of the two shitas that we have here in Amoicha Peres, but the Gemara says, you want to know who the Tan of that Mishnah is? La'ovim Rab Shimini v'hai Tanahu. It's this Tanah. So now this is like this, just two things that are worth speaking out. Number one, the Gemara said La'ovim Rab Shimini, meaning we just found another Tanah, but Gemara said, no, La'ovim Rab Shimini. What do you mean Rab Shimini? Meaning it's Rab Shimini from our Mishnah that holds eight, who could be, just to say this a little bit better, holds even 6 by 8, but at the same time, if you find a 4 by 8, you have to be chayish, because he's mechulik in the nekuda in terms of the proximity of how they would bury the kuchen. So it's not one kuch for every two amas, but rather you can get three kuchim into four amas. Meaning if you find a wall that's four, it's lav dafka because, oh, a wall that's four amas is the wall. It could be, really, it has to be six amas, and that was the way that they used to structure. But if you found four amas, so it could be it's just half of a wall that was eight, or it's two-thirds of a wall. But the point is that it's Rav Shimon because you see for sure that one of the walls was eight amas. Now, when you read the Gemara, so the Gemara says, "Lo'ivam Rab Shimon, hivahi tanehu." Right? Just read the words of the Gemara. The Tanya Motzan Ritzufin Ve'imenei Medal Amas Hatches Amas Yeshem Tufus Ve'Enos Shkunas Kras. Rab Shimon Yehuda Oymim Mishum Rab Shimon. Oh, right, for sure, that's where your head goes. Oh, it's Rab Shimon and it's Haitanu. It's Rab Shimon Ben Yehuda Alibidi Rab Shimon, who said Mefurish Royin, right? And he said, "What was the number? The number is 48." Oh, so it's Rab Shimon Haitanu, meaning Rab Shimon Ben Yehuda Alibidi Rab Shimon. So the Rashbam speaks out, and it's easy to miss this Rashbam, but if you look at the Marsha makes a very big deal about this. Zok, the Rashbam, that when the Gemara said Haitanu, the Gemara didn't mean Dafka Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Alibi the Rav Shimon. For sure, if you were learning this Gemara too fast, that's what you would think what the Gemara means. The Gemara didn't mean that. The Gemara meant other the Tanakama, one second, of this Braiso, or Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Alibi the Rav Shimon. Because really, they're both saying 4 by 8. They both said 4 by 8. What's the machlokes? The machlokes is whether we say Rayan and whether we don't say Rayan. So number one, even though the Gemara said, Hai Tanuhu, Alibi Rab Shimon, oh, and the Gemara quotes a Braisa that mentions a Tan, Alibi Rab Shimon, so for sure it sounds like that's what we mean. It's not Dafka we mean, because really you see it from the Tanakama of this Braisa as well. So there's nothing to talk about. But the Rashbam says that it's even more than that. Because from the Mishnah in Mesechta Sahalas that we started with, it doesn't sound like there's a Rayan. Motza Shloisha, Miesh Bene Me'arba Ad Shmoina, Harezu Shchunas Kfaras, I'm saying about Ryan. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Alibi Rav Shimon, in the Brice is the one that's Mechadish Ryan. So if anything, Dr. Rashbam, and the Marsha speaks this out very clear, you know who the Haitanu is? It's actually the Tanakam of this price. It's Lahedya, not Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, I'll leave it to Reb Shimon. So again, if you were learning this Gemara fast, you would say, oh, Lo'ivim Reb Shimoni, Vahai Tanu, I'll leave it to Reb Shimon, who? The Gemara quotes a price that it says, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Oimim, Yishon Reb Shimon. Zok the Marsha, explaining the Rashbam, that's not Pashim Shan in the Gemara. Pashim Shan in the Gemara is that whole Braisa is Haitanu, I'll leave it to Reb Shimon. There's the Tanakam of the Braisa who's going, I'll leave it to Reb Shimon. Which Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon and Amaycha Peres that holds that there was a wall that was 8 Amos. And a 4x8 could have Chashivas, either because the narrow wall was 4 or because you could see it up as a part of a wall that was 6. But the bottom line is, there is a cheshbon of 4x8. Then the Gemara brings from Shimon ben Yehuda that also said Mishum Rab Shimon. You got to set it Bakhtena. He said, Rab Shimon ben Yehuda, I mean Mishum Rab Shimon. He also says 4x8 in the world of Rab Shimon. What's their machloikis? Their machloikis is one thing. Whether you say Roy or don't say Roy. And in fact, being that the Stam Mishnah and the Holis didn't look like it was going Ryan. So if that's the case, Fakert, under a Mishnah, is not Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Aliba de Reb Shimon, but it's actually the Tanakama, which is also going Aliba de Reb Shimon. But the bottom line, it says the Gemara, B'mayo Kimto, Ki Reb Shimon. So again, we're going back to the Mishnah, Masechta Saholos, and we just said, who is the Tan of the Mishnah in Masechta Saholos? It's Reb Shimon. I, Reb Shimon, by us, 6x8. Hi Tan, I'll leave it to Reb Shimon. In fact, we have two Tan, I'll leave it to Reb Shimon. There's a whole nother Messiah in the world of Reb Shimon. It's not 6x8, it's 4x8. Or at the very least, a 4x8 is a Zach. Says the Gemara, but I have a problem with this. Ema Seifa, take a look at the Seifa, and here comes the math. The Seifa said, Baida Kemenu, Ulahalon Esraman. The Seifa, the Mishnah said, that once you find the Shchunas Kvaris, so now you have to be concerned that maybe this whole area is a Beis HaKvaris. So what do? You check up to 20 Amos. If you find nothing within 20 Amos, you're good to go. If you find one more mace, there's a Raglaim Lulav, maybe this whole field is one big Beis HaKvaris, you have to continue going. But how far do you have to look? You have to look 20 Amos. Now, what's the Cheshbon of 20 Amos? So Pachi, you'd say, I don't know, right? If you would have asked me yesterday or 2 days ago, I would have said a chais nisht. But now, one second, I know there's a Mishnah Amaycha Peres. The way they used to bury people, there was a whole Seidah Advarim. There was a cheshbon of how they did it. Oh, since probably related to the size of this catacomb, this whole geshaft, this whole Beis HaKvaris. Okay, what's the size of the Beis HaKvaris? So we know it's a machloikis between Reb Shimon and the Chacham. So the Gemara says like this, Reb Shimon. We just said that the Reisha is Reb Shimon. Let's take a look at the Seifer. Right? What's the cheshbon once you find the Shchunas Kvaris? You have to check 20 Amos. Who's it going according to? Reb Shimon, right? That's what it sounds like it's going. We just said that the Mishnah is Reb Shimon. So if this part of the Mishnah is Reb Shimon as well, Esrim, Vitartin, Havyan, then really you should have to check not 20 Amos, you should have to check 22 Amos. What's the cheshbon? Because if you just found 3 Mason, so you have to be concerned that maybe this is one of the walls of the Mara. Okay, so you have to think worst case scenario, right? So this is one of the outer walls. And it could be from here onward starts the whole Beis HaKvaris. Okay, what's the length of this particular ma'ara where you found these 3 kfarim, according to Reb Shimon? It's 8 Amos. Then there's a chatzar, and the chatzar was 6 Amos. And then you have to assume that maybe on the other side of that, there's another ma'ara which is going to be another 8 Amos. So it's 8 plus 8, which is 16 plus 6, which is 22. So why are you only checking 20 Amos for the Gemara? You should be checking 22 Amos, right? If this is what you worried about, 20 Amos is not a random number. Again, 2 days ago we thought it was a random number, but now we know it's not a random number. This is a cheshbon. So do the math. We just said the Tana Mishnah is Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon's world. It should be 22. And the Gemara says, Rabbanon. I said, maybe you'll tell me the safe of the Mishnah is the Rabbanon. Now, it's a little dachuk. I think it makes us feel a mashu uncomfortable. But okay, maybe the ratio that says, Me Arba Vachmoin is going to leave the Reb Shimon. And then when it says you buy the command of Allah and that's from Amu, that part of the Mishnah is got to go according to the Chacham. I mean, according to Reb Shimon would be 22 Amos. But what we mean is that if you found the Shchunas Kvaris, that is a Shchunas Kvaris, Alibi the Chacham, not 4x8, because 8 is too far. But if you made it work, Alibi the Chacham, and then you would only be by the 20 Amos. But the Gemara says, it's not true, because according to Rabbanu, it's Tamnis Riyavin. It's only going to be 18, because what's the length of the Ma'ar? It's 6. The Chatz is another 6. The length of the next Ma'ar is another 6. So it should be 18. So Mamon of Shach, had you come up with the number 20, either it should be 22 or it should be 18. So again, if it's like some random number, right, you find the Shchunas Kvaris, you also have to check 20 Amos. Okay, if that's the number 20, then which I tell you, but Avada, that's not what it is. It's based on the construction and the mitzias of these Beis HaKvarises. So if that's the case, that's the way it should be. But the Gemara says, the Sefer, I'll tell you, is going Aliba de Rabbanon. Okay, that's a Chiddush, again, because we said the Reish is going Aliba de Rab Shimon, but Peseder, we already came to terms with that. So maybe the Sefer is going Aliba de Rabbanon, Ukigoin, the Badak be Alach Soina. It's talking about where you were Baidik be Alach Soina. When you were Baidik, you're not being Baidik in a straight line. So you find the three Mason. You don't walk a straight line, but you have to walk in a diagonal. Now, the Gemara's Lashon is Ukigoin, the Badak be Alach Soina. It's a Maishpil, punk, that's what it. Maishpil, kachai. Rashman says, no, it's not like a kagoin. They're telling you a halacha. So the halacha means that you have to do it this way. And the reason the Rashman says, it's a long Rashman, he goes through the Metzias a little bit, brings from Rabbeinu Chanano, it seems that if you're Baidik Balachsoin, it's going to be a better Badika, because sometimes the Mason protrude a little bit, whatever. But the point is, you were Baidik Balachsoin. How does that change anything? The reason it changes is because now you have to figure out the Alachsoin of the Ma'ara. So the Ma'ara was, according to the Chachamim, again, we're saying La'olam Rabbanon, was 4x6. But the Alachsoin of that 4x6, the Gemara is saying, is really going to be 8. So the length is 6, but the Alachsoin is going to be 8. The math is that the Alachsoin of a 4x6 is 7.2, and the Gemara is rounding it off to 8. But the bottom line is, it's going to be 8. Oh, so if it's 8, then it's very good. Why is it very good? Because now the first ma'ara that you found, you have to be baidik balachsoin, that's 8 amis. Then you have the chatzer, which is 6 amis. 8 plus 6 is 14. And then you have the next ma'ara, which is 6 amis, according to the chachamim. So it's 14 plus 6 is 20. Oh, that's how you're number 20. But the Gemara says, what's the flaw? The Gemara says, I don't understand. If you have to be Baidik, the first Ma'ara Balachsoina, you can't just be Yoitza with going the Derech HaYosher, then Honami Balachsoina, then L'chayr, you have to be consistent. And if that's the case, it's not 8 plus 6 plus 6, it's 8 plus 6 plus 8, which is really Reb Shimon, right? You got there a different way, literally. You got the Balachsoina, you took the long Sinek route. But the Gemara's cash is that if the first one you're Baidik Balachsoina, the second one you should also have to be Baidik Balachsoina. If that's the case, Esen Vetaita Havyin. Look how you end up with 22. So the Gemara says, no, Chod Balachsoina, Minun Che Balachsoina, Dayam Rinon. This that you have to be Baidik Balachsoina, we said it's not a Kigoin, it's an Aikimta, it's a Din. It's a halacha. It's a chumrah. That chumrah, they said in the first one, when you found the mason, that's where you have this chumrah, they have to be baidik in that way. But the second one already, that you don't have to be baidik that way. Either way, the Gemara says that you want to know how you came up with the number 20 amis. It's not a random number. It's based on, really, yesterday's Mishnah. It's based on the math of exactly how these Beis HaKfarises were set up. It's going Alibi de Rabbanon. I was going Alibi de Rabbanon. The Chayre should be 18. The Teretz is the first Mara, you have to go Balachsoin. Now, it's a little bit dachuk. Why? Because Reish Reb Shimon v'seif Rabban. Said the Gemara, Sheish Reb Reb Yidi Yomar, Sheish Reb Yidi, said, Lo'ilam Reb Shimon. Lo'ilam is Reb Shimon. What's the Lo'ilam Reb Shimon, right? What's the niggin that you have to say when you say Lo'ilam Reb Shimon? Because we said the Reish is Reb Shimon. So if the Reish is Reb Shimon, Lo'ilam, the whole Mishnah is Reb Shimon. V'achim Mayaskin, right? What was the problem of going to be the Reb Shimon? It's 8 plus 6 plus 8, which is 22. What we're talking about is Benifli. The three kfarim that were found were Nephalim. They were Nephalim, they were little babies that Rahman al-Islam died shortly after childbirth. And being that they were Nephalim, so it's for that reason, their Reb Shimon held, they used to make the Ma'ara a little bit smaller. So Reb Shimon's Ma'ara was taka 6x8, but when it was Nephalim, then the length was only 6. Oh, the length was 6? Oh, so let's do the math. It's 6. Then the chatzar is another 6, which is 12. The next ma'ara, Shimon, it's 6x8, it's 8. So 6 plus 6 plus 8. You can end up with 20. But the Gemara asks the same kasha. Says the Gemara, midah benifli, hanami benifli. Shouldn't you assume that if the first one was Nephalim, then the second one's also Nephalim? Says, then if that's the case, tamni sri havin, it's going to be 6 plus 6 plus 6. And you're back with 8. The Gemara says, no, chadu benifli, yamin, entirety benifli, lo yamin. No, if the, what you found was nifli. Mechatesa to assume the other one was nifli. And if that's the case, this is a simpler answer than the Gemara's answer when it asked it in the first shot of the Gemara. But regardless, tartli benifli lo yamina. So what emerges from this? What emerges from this is in our Mishnah, we had the two shittas of what the Beis HaKfaris looked like. Was a 4x6, Shitas HaChachamim, was a 6x8, Shitas Rav Shimon. What emerged from the Gemara is, there's another Shita. And really, it has a Makar in a Mishnah, Masechta Saholis. It has a Makar in a Braisa. There's two Tana mentioned in the Braisa. They're both Alibi de Rav Shimon. But the point is, it's not 4x6, it's not 6x8, but rather it's four by eight. And there's a big nafkimina also in terms of how they would bury the mason. Was there an amma in between and half amma on each side? Or are there two tfachim in between and only one tefach on each side? Now, the Gemara brought a braisa on Amud Aleph, and in that braisa, there was a machloikis between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Mishum Reb Shimon. Now we rather know that Tanakama is also Reb Shimon, right? But it's Trey Tanoi, I'll leave it to Reb Shimon in that price of Gufa. But the bottom line is, there was a Machloikis of Tanakama, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Mishum Reb Shimon. What would be if you found a whole bunch of Mason and they're within this area of 4 and 8? Meaning, if you look at the outer ones, then yeah, they conform with 4 and 8, but they're bunched together. So the Maisa, there's so little space in between each one of them. The Chama say it doesn't work, right? The three have to be within four Amas, not five within four Amas, or within eight Amas, but otherwise it's going to be a problem. Reb Shimon Yehuda sent me, Reb Shimon is a Roya. I can make believe they're not all here. Meaning, I could say that there are only three, and as long as those three, let's say, fit into four Amas, five Amas, six Amas, seven Amas, oh, that's going to be good. I there's much more than that, and it looks like they're bunched together. I mean, it looks like it's a mass grave, right? That's the point. It doesn't matter. Ryan. This Ryan's a very big Kiddush, right? Where do you find Ryan? You find Ryan in Hilchas Sukkah and Hilchas Erev, and you always find it, right? We make walls that are not here. We make believe they are here. Good Achis, good Asik, Daifin Akuma, right? All these different things. These are all Ryan. This is a Ryan that is very much based on a mitzvah, right? Mechitzos are halacha l'moishim yisinai. This is no. Do you see a mass grave or do you not see a mass grave? The Chachamim say, I see a mass grave. If there's five, let's say, mason within a four ami area, it doesn't look like the Chevra Kadisha buried these people. And if that's the case, it's not a shkunas kvaris. Noitlon vest fusasan. It's pasha. That's Hashem says, no, there's not a mass grave. This is a regular base kvaris. I, Ryan. It's a little bit of a hard royin to understand. But the Gemara is going to get to that. But first, I'm going to ask a stir. For Rami, the Rabban, the Rabbanon. For Rami, the Reb Shimon, the Reb Shimon. The Chari is a stir in the Rabban, a stir in Reb Shimon. Meaning, the Gemara is going to bring another Mishnah where you find a similar machloikis between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Whether you say Rayim or don't say Rayim, it's mamish similar, very different sukkah, but very similar as we're about to see. And it looks like Reb Shimon and the Chachamim took the opposite shittas. Now this Machloikis is in a Mishnah. It's in a Mishnah Masechtas Kalayim, Perikei Mishnah Beis. But if it sounds familiar, it's because we had it twice already in Bava Basra. If you look in the Maseres Hashas, Le'il Lamed Zayin Amed Beis, that was in Cheskes Habatim, and Le'il Pei Gimel Lamed Aleph, that was in Amoichers Hasfina. So what's this Machloikis? Kerem Anatua Al Pachos Me Arba Amas. So we know the halacha is that you're not allowed to plant wheat or barley or something like that too close to a Geffen. How far does it have to be? So there's a certain share. In the event that you don't just have a random geffen, but you actually have a kerem, right? There's a kerem there, there's a heft of a vineyard. So then already the harchaka is more. And the Mishnah over there is discussing what makes up a kerem. So the basic share is there has to be shtei shurois, right? One keneged the other, and the achas yoytze zonov. But it also has to be within a certain proximity. Meaning if the vineyard is spread out over 15 acres, right? That's not a vineyard. That's a few random vines. If they're too close, that's also. Because when they're too close together, they're not really going to have a kiyum, you can end up uprooting them, and it takes away from its chashivus as a kerem, and therefore it's not treated like a kerem in halach. So what's going on over here is this machlois of Shimon the Chachamim in terms of how you done. It's a kerem, you had a kerem. Meaning it meets the criteria, checks off the boxes of a kerem. But it was natua, it was planted in an area that was less than arba amas. Reb Shimon oimer ain't a kerem. Reb Shimon says it's not a kerem. It's too close combined. The Chachamim say, I raise a kerem. It is a kerem. There's so much going on. I don't have to see all of them here. I could be roy them son if they're not there. Faith the Gemara Kashid Rabbanon Ad Rabbanon Kashid the Reb Shimon Ad Reb Shimon. In the Mishnah Masechtas Kalayim, the Rabbanon are the ones that say royim. When it comes to Unzer Sugya over here, whether you could be noitly vest fusas, Rabbanon say you don't say royim. And Reb Shimon is just the opposite. Reb Shimon Bayah said royim, and Reb Shimon over there didn't say royim. Now the Marshal over here, we're not going to go into this, but that same Marshal that we quoted a few times, he says, 1 second, I thought both Tanoim in this Brisa are really Reb Shimon. Right? The Gemara is asking the Kasha, Kasha the Rabbanon, Ad Rabbanon, Kasha the Reb Shimon, Ad Reb Shimon. Marshal says, I made such a big fuss in the Sugya, and it comes from the Rashbam, that really that whole Brisa was Reb Shimon. So it's not Kasha the Rabbanon, Ad Rabbanon, Kasha Reb Shimon, Ad Reb Shimon. One time I'll leave the Reb Shimon as Lushi Tosa, it's given gewaldig. And the other Tana of Rav Shimon is a little bit of a problem. The Gemara is not asking it that way. The Gemara is assuming in our Brais, one is Rav Shimon, the other one's not Rav Shimon. And that's the Kasha the Rabbanon, not the Rabbanon, right? Kasha Rabbanon, Rabbanon, Kasha Rav Shimon, it's the Marshos Kasha. But the bottom line is, as the Gemara, Kasha the Rabbanon, Kasha Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon. The Gemara says, no, the Metzias is very different, obviously. One's Hilchas Kalayim, right? One you're planting wine, and the other one you're burying dead people. Not the same Indian. And it's for that reason, says the Gemara, when you understand that, and you understand the Balabatishkeit of it, the Svarish of it, you realize the Sugis are not the same. That person who planted those vineyards that were very close to, when he planted it, that's the way he wanted it to be. So if that's the case, he planted a kerem, which is a shvacha kerem, and asher kerem doesn't have the status of a kerem. Hoch over here, there's a different way to look at it. Zimnin de misramalei bein hashmashes, umikri umanchalei. Meaning, could be there was a regular Beis HaKfaris here, and now the Chevek Kadisha had to do a burial. And it was bein hashmashes. And because it was bein hashmashes, right, stam bein hashmashes is Erev Shabbos, and you can't bury on Shabbos, and as a result, they wanted a chaparai. So they didn't have time to dig out a koch. Right, just to be clear, sometimes these kochin, they weren't dug out right away. They didn't dig out this, meaning they knew that that was something that at some point you were going to have to do. But Lav Davka was done yet at that point. So what happened was, is it could be that the Chevek Kadisha felt that they had to quickly stop one of these mason there temporarily. So Reb Shimon says, I'm willing to see a Peroyan, because I think that this was really a Beis HaKfaris, and it just so happens there's another one or two, whatever, that happened to be the temporarily. And that's why you say Ryan. But by the Kerem, what was it? What you... temporarily, you put a kerem, but I'm going to take it away because it's bein hashmoshes and I'm planting. So let me quickly put another shura there, and then nochsham doesn't make sense. I'm like, this is the way you did it, and this is the way you did it. It's not a real kerem, and that's why you're out. Rabbanon, Rabbanon, nami lekash, Rabbanon. You can say the same thing. Hoch over here, kiven de menava loy mikri kever. Over here, just the opposite. The way the Rashbam explains it, no one's ever going to do it when it comes to kavod mace. You're not going to throw a mace over there and then come back to it. Elamai, you did it permanently, and being that permanently, it's not a beis hakfaris. Meaning loy mikri kaver, because it's too close, and that's why it's not going to be all good. It's not going to be good. Hossam over there, you could say Raim. And the reason is because meimar amar haiminai with the shaper with the loy shaper lahavet letzivi. It could be this person lekatchila planted a real kerem. He knows not all of it is going to be good, and he's fine with that lechatchila, because in his mind, some of it I'm going to use for wine, and some of it I'm going to end up using for wood. So being that lechatchila, he does it that way, knowing that some of it is not going to be okay. But some of it will be okay, has a chashivas of a keren, and it's that, for that reason it's going to be fine. Again, we're not learning Hilchas Aholos, we're not learning Hilchas Kalayim, but the point is the Gemara had a steer of Verami, the Rav Shimon, the Rav Shimon, Verami, the Rabbanon, the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, you could give Zach an Eitzah. And on that note, Hadron Halach, Hamoicher Peres. So just to end with one Ha'ara. Today is Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's also Erev Da'aser Simei Tshuva. It's also for our Chabura, Erev Shabbos Shuvah. It's just one Ha'ara that I saw in the Sefer Beis Yishai from Hagoyen Reb Shloime Fisher, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. It's an incredible, incredible hergish. The Tein L'Chacham V'Yech Kamoy on the Indian of Tshuvah. So this was one of the drushes that he said on Shabbos Shuvah. If you have the drushes Bein Yishai, the newer edition that has Chelek Aleph and Chelek Beis in the same volume, it's Simin Chaf Aleph, Sif Kotten Gimel, page Kuf Ayin Gimel. Reb Shloime Fisher, he said the following. He said, we had a Gemara that we learned together not long ago, in Amechas Asfina. It was in the sugya of the Midois and the Mishkalois. The Gemara talked about all the different types of Ramos that can come about through the Indian of Midos and Mishkalos. And the Gemara said, Al Kulon Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Regarding all of these things, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Oyliyim Oymar, Oyliyim Loy Oymar. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has the great yeshiva, right? Rabbi Eliezer learned in his yeshiva, but he had the big famous yeshiva, and he's a Magid Shir, and he was very mesopic. How much detail, how be'ian he should learn the sugya of the Midas and the Mishkalis. Meaning, he wanted to talk about all the different faperai that can come about through this inyan. But he was mesopic. Should I talk a lot or maybe fakir? I should have some restraint. And what was his suffix? He said, "Im Oymar, if I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk about all the different tricks you can have, Shemi Yilamdu Aramam, I might have people listening to me, and these people are Aramam, and they're looking for a good scheme. Adarabba, and they're going to say, oh, I have a great business idea. How'd you come up with it? I heard it from Rabbi Yechim and Zaka. He said it over in Shir." So it was for that reason he said, "Oyvim Oymar, I'm not sure I should say this." Then he said, "Im Loy Oymar." But then he was concerned. He said, "Should I not say? Shemi Yomur Haramoim, ain't Talmidei Chachomim Bikim Emasi Yadenu. Maybe the Aramam are going to think, oh, the Talmidei Chachomim don't really know all these tricks. And as a result, the Ramam are going to do their thing, thinking that they're never going to get caught, and Faker, it's going to promote Ramos." So he said, "I wasn't sure what to do. I was mamash stuck between a rock and a hard place." He said, "Oyliam Oymar, Oyliam Loy Oymar." So the Gemara says, "Ibayalo." The Bnei Yeshiva were wondering, "Amra Loy Oymar, Tachlis, what did Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai do? Did he say it or did he not say it?" So the Gemara says, "Amra Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amra." Shmuel Rav just said he said it. "Umehai kra Amra." And you know what his makar was? The following pasuk. It says, "Ki yisharim tarche Hashem, v'tzadikim yelchubam, u'poshim yikashlubam." The Navi says, "Ki yisharim tarche Hashem, the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ayashar." And it's true. Are people that hear the Dvar Hashem and they end up stumbling as a result of it. But Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said that I'm going to present the Torah the way it is. Tzadikim, yelchubam, upoishim, yukashlubam. You're right. If someone's going to hear my shir, and he's going to say, you know what, I have a new chap in how I can go ahead and fool somebody, vazolachton. Tzadikim, I know, yelchubam, upoishim, yukashlubam. I'm delivering the Torah. Let everyone do what they're going to do. But Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai had this dilemma. Oyliam oymar, oyliam loy oymar. And he was pushing it from a pasuk. Ki yisharim darchei Hashem, v'tzadikim, yelchubam, upoishim, yukashlubam. So Rabbi Shlomo Fischer said, a dover nifla mamish. He said, "Who said this pasuk? Yisharim darchei Hashem, v'tzadikim yelchubam upoishim yikashlubam?" It was the Navi Hosea. Where did the Navi Hosea say it? He said it in the Nevuah of Shuvi Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokech. It's the last pasuk of Hosea's Nevuah in the Shabbos Shuvah Haftarah. In Shabbos Shuvah, we read Shuvi Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokech. It's Hosea Perik Yudalit. And pasuk Yud is Ki Yisharim Darchei Hashem V'tzadikim Yelchubam U'Poshim Yikashubam. So Shlomo Fischer said that if you look at the Nevuah of Hosea, what's Hosea saying? He says, Shuvi Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokech. Ki Chashalto Ba'avinecho. Kui machem dvarim v'shuvu al Hashem. Imru elav kol kisa avoyim v'kach toiv v'nesham v'parm s'faseinu. Hashem is looking at a generation of people that sin. They did terrible averes. They go through the year and they're so meluchluch b'chet. But he looks at Klal Yisrael and he tells him, do tshuva. I'm going to do tshuva. How are we going to do tshuva? It's so hard. He says, it's not as hard as you think it is. Kui machem dvarim. Just take words v'shuvu al Hashem. So what should I say? Say kol tisa avoin v'kach toiv u'neshama parnas v'asei. Just go and deher and appreciate and understand that a yid could do tshuva. Right, Rashi says, kui machem dvarim eni mevakesh mikem mamin el dvarim shel tshuva. Just say dvarim shel tshuva. And if you're going to say dvarim shel tshuva, everything's going to be okay. Some of Fisher said that it's Mavu in the Gemara's and Masechtas Yom and the Sugis of Tshuva, that the Tshuva that Hosea Hanavi was talking about was Tshuva Meira. It's not the Shpitz Tshuva. It's Tshuva Meira. One of his Makairis is, because the Gemara says that if someone does Tshuva Meira, it's Doinis Nas and Shkogis. How do you know that? Because Hosea said, Tshuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, Ki Chashalta B'Avoinecha. An Avoin is an Aveir B'Mezid. A Michshal is an Aveir B'Shoigig. If you're going to do Tshuva, Chashalta B'Avoinecha, all your Avoinos are going to turn into Shkogis. And the Emes is, he said that if you go through Hosea, and he talks about the Koyach of Tshuva, and if a Yid does Tshuva, he comes back, he shows the Ebesh I want. He's a kui machem dvarim v'shuvu al Hashem. Even if he does it miyira, which is not the Shpitz form of tshuva, about filu hachi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is Eya Katali Yisrael, Yifrach Kishay Shana. Rashi says, Afal Pisha Einam Ruyin La'ahava, even though they don't deserve my love. Obe Esnadev La'avasam, I'm going to love them anyways. Kishav Apu Mimenu, because my whole Charein Af, everything is going to go away. And he talks about the beauty and the Koyach of Tshuva. Right, the Gemara says, G'doy L'tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKovid. How do you know that? Hosea said it. Shuvi Yisrael, Ad Hashem Alekecha. If I cared from Ad Hashem Alekecha, you know what we learned? That B'mokim Shavali Tshuva, Oindem Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yichaylam Lamoy. We always speak out from Rab Tzadik, that Rab Tzadik said that Moshe Rabbeinu was v'tach. He only reached the Shar Memtes. If Moshe Rabbeinu only reached the Shar Memtes, the Raya Mehemno, so who's the Shar Nun? So Rav Tzadik said, you know, the Shar Nun is the Bali Tshuva, and it's the Soyed of B'mokim Shabali Tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't about Tshuva, so he can only get to the Shar Memtes. The Bal Tshuva, he was able to go to the Shar Nun. That's why we said that you find two places in Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mekana somebody. He was Mekana Rabbi Akiva. He said, why are you giving the Torah through me? If you have someone like Akiva ben Yosef, give it better through Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Right? There's a medrash that says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went up, or Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was learning the parasha Parah Aduma, and he said, Eliezer ben Yikachwa. He said, who is this Eliezer? It was Rabbi Eliezer. He said, Yehiratzin Sheyetzei Zeh Mechalotzai. Why Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? Because they were both Bali Tshuva. And they achieved the Madrega that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wasn't even able to achieve. But the Navi Yosheya said in Nevuah, and in this Nevuah of Isaiah, he was going to tell you the Koyach of Tshuva. And you know what the Koyach of Tshuva is? Kuhi machem dvarim v'shuva al Hashem. And even if it's not Tshuva me'ahava, it's not the Tshuva that's the perfect, it's a Tshuva me'yira, because you realize, like, what am I doing? Das euch Gott. A Zahir Tshuva is also fine. And if a person does a little bit of Tshuva, you know what he's going to be zoicha to? Like Rash, he says, Afa pisha enem ruin la'ahava, es nadev la'avasa. But then Isaiah said to himself, he said, should I say this Nevuah? I'm not sure I should say this. You know why? Because when people hear Hashem loves me, and maybe it doesn't even matter how I behave and what I do, could be it's going to motivate people and it's going to incentivize people to do the wrong thing. You have to be mechazik people. It says Rav Shlomo Fischer, it's such a nifla de gehergish, that the Navi Hosea wasn't sure. Do I tell Klal Yisrael the Koyach of Tshuva? Or maybe we just keep it between ourselves, because if people chap, you know, this can lead to echtav ashiv, this can lead to different things, which are not good. So what should I do? He said, oylium oymar, but oylium loy oymar, oylium oymar. The Ramah am I going to hear and say, oh great, Hashem loves me anyways. But oylium loy oymar. Because fakir, Klal Yisrael has to know, zdak koyach fin tshuva. And if you feel far and you feel distant, adarabba, kui mochem dvarim v'shuva al-Hashem, and that Eibishter promises you, afa pisha enem ruin la'ahava, es nadiv la'avasam. So what did Isaiah say at the end of his Nevuah? He said, I'm going to let it rip. I'm going to say what I have to say. Shuva Yisrael, but maybe it's the wrong thing. How does he conclude? Ki yisharim darchei Hashem. Tzadikim yelchu bam, upoishim yikashlu bam. That was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's maskana. Hosea was the one that said it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is quoting the Navi Hosea. And the oimik of it is, not stam a pasuk in Hosea, because Hosea had that same struggle. And what was the context of his struggle? Do I talk about Hashem's loves? I don't know. It's a little bit dangerous. It comes with a shtickle invoice. Oh, but he was machriya ki yisharim darchei Hashem. V'tzadikim yelchu bam, upoishim yukashlu bam. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, if that's what the Navi Hosea said, Zahav Rishonim, Avatana de Mesayeli, Ayeshmi Lismoich. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went ahead and did the same thing. And this is something I think everybody can relate to. On the one hand, Avada, we always speak at the Maral, Benkachu Benkach Kriyim Bonim. Nothing to talk about. Mitzad sheni, it's mechayev us to be noyeg minig banim. But it's true, even when we're not noyeg minig banim, it's ben kachu ben kachru yim banim. Yeah, but avada, kol oimer kadosh baruch hu vatron. It's such a fascinating conflict. It's the two tzadim are mesmerizing. So what do you do? The Teretz is ki yisharim darchi Hashem. V'tzadikim yelchu bam u'poshim yukashlu bam. Hosea Hanavi told us what you do. Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh told us what you do. We talk about it, and we say, Benkachu Benkach Kriyim Banim. Abba Chalila, we shouldn't be Upoishim Yukashulam. We have to take it, and we have to use that to inspire us. We have to use that to inspire us to do tshuva. You know, just to be Messiah with a bracha to the Ganze Chabura. You know, we just learned the Gemara in Daf Tzadik Tes, where the Gemara talked about the Kruvim. And the Pasuk says, Upneim Ishal Ochiv. Right? And the Stira, Pneim Alabayis, Pneim Ishal Ochiv, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Loza, Chadama. The Balaturim on that Pasuk, Upneim Ishal Ochiv, says, Kemoy Shnei. When you picture the Kruvim, what do you picture? Ish the Isha. Rashi says Kruvim is Kiravya. It's two children. It's something that represented the Spitz Ahava, the Spitz Kesher, the spitz closeness, right? That's kahavas ish v'isha, shir ashirim, like the Rambam says in the end of Hilchas Tshuva. Balaturim says, you know what's the pnei yamish alachiv? It's k'moy shnei chaverim shenoysim v'noysim b'divrei Torah. The spitz kesher that you can have with another person is when you learn Torah with that person. V'nafshe k'shur b'nafshe, that's also a balaturim. Says the balaturim, k'shur is b'gematria Torah. Because through Torah, that's where a person comes to the kesher. So my feeling is the Baruch Hashem, we have the schos, we have a chabura, we get to learn Torah together every day. And v'nafshe k'shur b'nafshe, it's a b'chin of u'pneim ishalachiv. What's the spitz kesher? This represents our yachas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while Yisrael Ritzayim Yishol Makim, it's kishnei chaveirim shenoysen v'noysen v'divrei Torah, because there's no kesher that's deeper and more meaningful than the kesher between two people that learn together. Yiratzim, we should be zaycha to a ksiv v'chsim v'toyva, a good kibben shtyar, a year of gizont, parnasa, naches. It should be a year where we have the schos to continue steiging together. It's been a very hard year, like we spoke about the other day. It should be tichle shana v'kil loyseo, taschel shana u'bir choyseo. It should be a year of Geula and Yeshua. Definitely feels like Geula and Yeshua. It's machlokes in the Gemara, whether b'nisan asidam ligal or whether b'tishrei asidam ligal. Elu ve'elu divrei likim chayim. B'tishrei asidam ligal. And we should be zoicha this chodesh tishrei to the Geula shleima. B'meir b'yameinu. Amen.